is good, Defenders Nation. Welcome to the LAFC podcast, heard in over 100 countries worldwide. That's right. This is Defenders of the Bank, and you know my voice. It's the scarf, J.R. Liebert, coming to you live in front of the semi-famous scarf wall in Lawndale, California. And woo, no more Vancouver. Sitting directly to my right on the internet and about, I don't know, 30-something miles away in world-famous Philomonster Studios, beautiful Burbank, California. He is one Christian Philly Philemon.
Hello, Los Angeles. Hello, lovers of Major League Soccer. Hello, fans of the beautiful game. Hello to the millions.
And millions
of Defenders of the Bank listeners. Today is one of those examples of how and why I understand the term Sunday fun day. Scarf, you said we're listened to in over 100 countries. You are right. 107 to be exact, with at the very least 25% of that number consistent listeners. And I want to give a big shout out and hello to everybody listening in the beautiful country of Uzbekistan, primarily in the city of Tashkent. I know you're there. You've told me you're there. Much love. Thank you for listening to Philly and the Scarf. Yes, we finally made the Vancouver Whitecaps vanish, Scarf. And thank God, because you and I obviously made a boo-boo yesterday. We didn't record an episode of One More Sleep because I am so sick and tired of saying Brian White and Denny Bawanga are my players to watch. And I'd imagine you grew kind of tired of the same rhetoric as well.
Look, I don't even know. I think I would have probably gone today with Ilya Sanchez and I don't know who from Vancouver, like not, this isn't like a hindsight 2020 thing. Ilya Sanchez, I think would have been mine. And then, you know, I probably would have just done something like picked Ryan Raposo from Syracuse. Why not? Just because basketball season has started. We almost lost Philly, guys. For those of you watching on YouTube, he may have killed himself just now. Not sure what happened, but want to give a quick shout out to everybody in the chat too. Soccer USA, Caitlin, Manny, everybody. We love you guys. Thank you for catching the live show. And yes, Philly, to answer your question more directly, I am so happy this is the last time we're going to talk about Vancouver in the 2023 season.
So tired of it. It would have been our seventh chat had LAFC committed a faux pas today, yeah. But thankfully, the powers that be and the soccer gods blessed us today. We walked out a bad carpet place, a place that has been rather notorious in terms of LAFC lore, as that is it's the unfriendly place. Now, Vancouver has a couple of stereotypes that I learned about while doing my research today. People like to refer to Vancouver as Vantucky, and the stereotype that people in the Canuck city of Canada, they're known as being very polite, but not very friendly. And so I'm happy we don't have to address, talk about them anymore. And I'm happy that we managed to claw back a win. We're 2-3-1 historically going into today's matchup at Bad Carpet Place. But at least we walked out of there today with a massive W. And by the way, shout out to all the Whitecaps faithful. 30,000 plus in BC Place, a franchise record. That was awesome. And also a big shout out to Vanni Sartini for being without a doubt the most animated and entertaining coach to watch from a spectator's perspective. More on that later.
Yeah, Vanni Sartini might be my second favorite coach in Major League Soccer. I don't even know who he would have moved off of the number two spot for, because I don't really care about all the other coaches. But when he goes full, and I want to mention this because I know it's a big thing for you. He went almost, Philly, full Bobby Knight on everybody there at that match. I mean, Vanni Sartini, I wanted him to take a chair and just chuck it out onto the center pitch. I know, Philly, you obviously, the Indiana Hoosier faithful, that you are a rough week with the passing of Bobby Knight, but I know he's a guy that always inspired you and brought a chuckle to many, many, many followers of college basketball.
Robert Montgomery Knight, the greatest man to ever coach college basketball. Y'all might say Mike Krzyzewski of Duke. Wait, what'd I say?
You're going to piss off a lot of UCLA John Wooden faithful, that's for sure.
I said one of. Okay, look, UCLA obviously has the lion's share in terms of titles. Within our era, let's put it that way. A lot of people are going to say Coach K is the greatest college basketball mind to ever grace the floors, especially at Duke. But hey, he was a disciple of Bobby Knight. In fact, He was Bobby Knight's starting point guard at West Point. Bobby Knight died 83 years young. He was having a rough go of it. And well, a man like him would not survive and be successful in today's day and age. But for all the crap and all the stuff that people said about him, I learned an awful lot about him myself. That sweater that he always wore, scarf, the Adidas one, I'm sure you remember it vividly. Adidas paid Bobby Knight $1 million a year to wear that vest. And guess what? He did not take a single penny from that. He donated all of it to the Indiana University Library, and he never wanted any of that stuff to be known. So in his passing, we learned about a lot of the philanthropic things that great man did. And I love my alma mater. As you know, I am a Hoosier till I die. Bobby Knight is a legend. Rest in peace. And yeah, thank you for bringing that up, trying to get me all teary-eyed and choked up on today's pod.
Yeah, why not? Look, we're celebrating a lot on today's pod. We do want to mention, however, by the way, everybody, we are, of course, part of the Flex family. Head on over to flexpowertools.com for all your power tools needs. It's November, people. Christmas is coming up. You got Hanukkah coming up. You got Kwanzaa coming up. You got any of the other holidays that you need to buy gifts for. Thanksgiving is coming up. Maybe you got to fix some stuff in time to host some more people for Thanksgiving. Whatever y'all are doing, you got to check out flexpowertools.com for all of your power tool needs. So head on over. And remember, you get a full lifetime warranty on every single thing you buy from their website. Just register it and bam, free full lifetime warranty. So get on over to flexpowertools.com. And again, head on over to lafc.com/Mo-Fascio to get your donations on for the Mo Fascio futsal court. I'm going to make it a very simple number today. That would be $36 that you guys should go and donate today to the Mo Fascio futsal court in recognition of the 36th goal in this calendar year by one number 99, Denis Bawanga. Philly, your dollar amount that you're telling everybody they should donate today is?
Oh, gosh. All right. I'm going to lowball it. And since we're going to stay in the vein of Indiana University, and I do apologize for that, I had no intention of bringing that up. That's all in the scarf. I'm going to say three, but three very big ones in honor of the three national titles that Bobby Knight brought to Indiana University. 1976, still to this day, the only college basketball team to finish an entire season undefeated and win a national title. That much we can lay our head to rest on. 1981 with Isaiah Thomas as the point guard, Indiana University won yet again. And one that I'm very proud of, and what I'm going to stick it to the scarf with, 1987, Keith Smart down in New Orleans hitting that sideline jump shot to defeat Jimmy Boeheim, Syracuse Orangemen 3, in honor of the general himself, the great Robert Montgomery Knight.
We won it in 2003, at least. I'll take solace in that. Good old Syracuse, Jimmy Boeheim, Carmelo Anthony won me a lot of money that year. Thank you, my friend, for bringing up the time that I was only 4 years old. I don't think I remember much of it, but still, I was a Syracuse guy. This is an LAFC pod, however, and Philly, this day in LAFC history, it was 1 year ago today that we collectively lost our minds and won our cup. It came home November 5th, 2022. LAFC brings home the first title in club history. Kellen Acosta, 27th minute. Jesus David Murillo, a scarf goal in the MLS Cup final. That's right, 83rd minute. And who can ever forget Gareth Bale dunking on Jack Elliott? I mean, oh, what a match. Ilya Sanchez with the winning PK. J-Mac obviously coming up huge. Maxime Crepeau sacrificing everything, including his World Cup spot for the Cup victory. I mean, Philly, you and I can sit here and do a podcast and just bring people on and have them talk about everything related to that day. But I don't think there is a more significant day in club history than 1 year ago today.
I do. There is one day at the very least that is greater than that day in LAFC history, Scarf.
Okay.
Our founding, because there is no MLS Cup without our founding. And then we could argue when we signed Carlos Vela, when John Thornton came on, when Larry Friedman came on, yada, yada, yada. But ultimately, the club's birthday, I would say, is the ultimate, because that's what led to this. What a difference a year makes. You were right. At this point, you and I were who knows how many adult beverages into our Saturday evening. It was a phenomenal day, arguably one of the greatest sporting moments in all of our lives, especially for those that love LAFC. When they say life is made up of a series of moments, that without a doubt was a moment. If we can bottle that joy that we had once Ilya Sanchez scored that goal, bottom right past Andre Blake, we would become billionaires. It was a phenomenal day. And from the morning of the march, the match, the goals, if it wasn't for that World Cup final between Argentina and France, without a doubt, that would have been the greatest football match, period, of last year. But man, you know, you want to talk about what a difference a year makes? A year prior to that, Scarf, you and I were about 24 hours out of jumping on a jet with 110 football to head on over to Colorado, Dick's Sporting Goods Park, Decision Day, a game in which we lost 5-2. And the only thing that we had to celebrate on that day was the Galaxy losing to the Houston Dynamo and, again, not making the MLS Cup playoffs. It's been a wild ride, man, and I'm so thrilled you and I got to enjoy it together. The pods, the 110 broadcasts. I miss 110 football so gosh darn much, man. And when I yep. see those videos of that broadcast, it brings a tear to my eye. It was fantastic. And thank you, LAFC, for not losing on the one-year anniversary of the day you hoisted your first MLS Cup trophy. Glorious day it was a year ago, and a glorious day it was today as well.
And Philly, the other thing that it brings up on the tip of my tongue and the front of my mind is that the season was over last year on this day. We still have a month and a day to go. I believe December 6th is MLS Cup final. Are you kidding me? We still have another month of football left to play, including all the other stuff that we've done this year, Champions League, Leagues Cup, all the Open Cup, you know, everything that we've talked about, I don't know, about 1,000 different times on this podcast. How is it that MLS thinks it's okay to have both antiquated roster rules, salary cap issues, and a season that literally goes 9 months now with all these other different competitions? Can you believe that we still have a month left to go? Don Garber, do better. Fix something. And I don't mean adding a fourth DP, because you know what? Fourth DPs don't matter. None of that matters. We need to have expanded salary cap, capabilities and releasing some of these roster restrictions that we have. Philly, we got a month left to go, my friend.
You know what's, you want to talk about some of the BS that we see within MLS? All right. We had the first ever, and maybe only for the longest time, active MLS player to win the Ballon d'Or. That yeah. in Lionel Messi. And obviously we can't attribute that to his time in Miami, because that would be horse bucky. But the dumbest thing that MLS could possibly do is schedule a friendly between Inter Miami and NYCFC on Friday of this upcoming week, a day in which there is an MLS Cup playoff game, a game three between FC Dallas and the Seattle Sounders. I think that is beyond idiotic. I'm not mad that they decided to do a friendly and allow this league to pimp their golden goose, but to do it during the MLS Cup playoffs, and more importantly, to do it during a day in which two actual teams play, one of them being the more successful and consistent teams in league history. Don Garber, Jesus Christ, man, stop milking this. I get you got to find ways to pay the man, but nobody gives a crap about NYCFC right now, because they didn't make the playoffs. Nobody gives a crap about Inter Miami right now. They signed Luis Suarez, by the way. I don't know how they're breaking the rules on this. Nobody gives a crap about them right now either. If you're going to do this friendly, do it during a time when all these teams go on break. There's an international break coming forward. How dare you set this BS, meaningless, pimp your player out contest during the MLS Cup playoffs? So utterly stupid.
I think it would have been okay had they done it like maybe the day before MLS Cup final or something to get people excited about. Yeah, something like that. But this conflict is absolutely ridiculous. You're absolutely right. Look, let's get in. We do have a couple of other news and notes to talk about. First of all, I didn't put this in our rundown, Philly, but hey, we do keep track of what happens, 11, 12, 13 miles down the road. Chicharito and Douglas Costa both gone from the Galaxy. It is going to be an interesting offseason. I don't think the matchup ever materialized the way that Carson wanted it to, with the Carlos Vela versus Chicharito narrative. Both of them were just so hurt, so often that I don't think we ever saw the full scale tilt that we saw, obviously, with Zlatan and Carlos Vela for all of those years. For both of those years, I say all of those years. It was 2 years. Soccer USA, I've heard they are. They have not been relegated. But I really do think it is going to be very interesting to see how Carson pivot from the failed Chicharito era now into whatever year seven of our club's existence is going to be. This is obviously a club that, if I remember correctly, finished in the bottom couple of teams in the West once again. And look, I know we're not a Galaxy podcast, clearly, but we always do have to keep track of what's going on down there. Chicharito and Douglas Costa both gone. So is it Ricky Pooch? Is he the one now going to give advice to who to bring in? Is Jovalich finally going to get some burn? I don't know, but it'll be interesting.
Chicharito, I'm sure you all saw the meme on Twitter. I'm not going to call it X. It just sounds so dumb. The meme of him, like, before really playing a game with the Galaxy and then afterwards, it reminded me of what Barack Obama looked like before and after he took the role of president. He was so spry, young, and relaxed. And after his presidency, he got a little grayer, lost a little bit of hair, looked a little bit more, well, stressed, to say the least. And that's exactly what Chicharito looked like after his awful, awful tenure with the Carson Galaxy. I will say this. It wasn't the worst signing that they've ever had. You could argue that Steven Gerrard or heck, even Douglas Costa was. But, you know, you say we're not a Galaxy pod. And you're absolutely right. The dummies from down the 110 are going to say, oh, look how rent-free we are. They're talking about us even when we don't matter. The term rent-free is BS, and it does not apply in the city of Angels. There is nothing rent-free other than the 40-year-olds who troll us from the Galaxy that still live with their parents and never left their basement playing World of Warcraft. But, yeah, know thine enemy. Anyway, it's we vanquished Vancouver, Scarf. We made Vancouver vanish. We made Vanny and Vancouver vanish. It was a good day.
It was a very good day for sure. Let's take a quick look around the other MLS Cup playoff matches. Sporting Kansas City. Okay, Sporting taking out number one St. Louis, 4-1 at St. Louis, 2-1 at Sporting. Yeah, there it is. So,
look, is it really a surprise, though, Scarf?
Look,
a team that's won 7 out of their last 11, and that is Sporting Kansas City,
yeah,
and a team that has only won 3 out of their last 10, and that is St. Louis. Is it any real surprise to you? And the only reason, let's put it bluntly, that Sporting Kansas City was a wild card team is because they were so utterly abysmal the first quarter of the season, but that last half, that last third, if you will, they were a damn good team with everybody back, and they showed how dangerous they can be.
Look, Sporting Kansas City started out the season, I believe, 0-7-3. First 10 matches, 0 wins, 3 points, and everybody was writing Peter Vermes' obituary. And yet, the old man in KC, Peter Vermes, Graham Zusi, Red Card Roger, and the trio of talented players that they have there. Daniel Shalloway, Johnny Russell, and why am I blanking on the third one? Who's the other guy? Oh, my goodness. I'm totally blanking.
I mean, they have so many good players. I mean, they've got Remy Voltaire. They've got Ndembe. They've got Tommy. They've got, I mean, you mentioned Shalloway. They've got Alan Pulido.
Thank you. Pulido. That was the guy I couldn't remember.
Tim Melia, a phenomenal goalkeeper.
Yeah.
When healthy, they're a very talented team.
They are. They're going to be playing the winner of the Houston RSL series. Houston took the first one in Houston 2-1. Tomorrow, where they play the RSL version of this stupid 3-game series that they have. And let's look at the Seattle-Dallas series real quick. We got a 2-0 win for Seattle at home and a 3-1 win for Dallas, although it came in a costly margin. Alan Velasco in that turf in Seattle tears up his knee and is done for the year. And he had really started to get some run with Argentina's national team. I mean, you're talking about a guy who could have been in line, quote unquote, to start filling some minutes of Lionel Messi on the Argentinian national team a little bit. So this is definitely a big blow for Dallas. But look, November 10th, you mentioned it, that same day as the NYCFC Inter Miami friendly is round three.
So dumb.
And I think, look, we're all Dallas fans for that match because we don't want to have to travel up to Seattle to play on turf. It's absolutely nuts that we might have to go up to Seattle once again. But either way, it's going to be a fun match. And look, I know what I said about Atlanta. I know they lost 2-0 to the Crew in Columbus. There's plenty of time. Plenty of time. They still have to play their game at Mercedes-Benz Field in Atlanta. I think they're going to win that, and then they're going to surprise everybody by beating Columbus back in Columbus again. And then they're going to move on. That's who we're going to play in MLS Cup Final, people. I'm saying it until I'm wrong, and I don't look like I'm going to be right so far. So there's that.
I mean, the fact that you picked Atlanta United prior to like any of this happening, yes, I would question your sanity in that respect.
Yeah, I did it.
I know that the millions
and millions
would prefer to play Dallas, and obviously that gives us home field advantage. That gives us the opportunity that, well, we all want, gives us another chance to see our boys play. With St. Louis getting knocked out of the playoffs, the number one seed, we certainly position ourselves in a great way to see some kind of playoff matchups should we advance a little further. Now, if obviously Seattle wins, then we go up to the Pacific Northwest because, well, they're the higher seed. If Dallas wins, well, then they're the lower seed at 7. We're going to host them. This might be a very unpopular thought, Scarf, but 2019 is still something that I remember very, very vividly. I know there are plenty of other people out there that remember that as well. And there's plenty of Sounders fans that like to hold it against us that, well, they ended our 2019 run in one of the most successful stories, performances, and individual plays in that of Carlos Vela. They ended it on our home turf. I'd be remiss if I said I wouldn't have a bit of satisfaction going up to Seattle and beating them on their own turf. So I no longer hear that narrative that, well, they beat us on our home ground and in our best season. And selfishly, I'd also like to save a couple of bucks too.
Yeah, look, I would love to beat Seattle in Seattle. I want to take whatever road we need to get into the playoffs. That's the road I want to take. Whatever road we need to get into the MLS Cup final, that's the road I want to take. Whatever road that matters to be able to lift MLS Cup, that's the road that I want to take. So it's very, very simple. Whoever we go through, we're still the defending champs. And so I think if we go up to Seattle, I think we beat them there. If Dallas comes down here, I think we beat them. And then all of a sudden you're looking at what looks like it might be a Houston Sporting one-off. God, wouldn't it be crazy if a team that starts 0-7-3 gets past Houston in that next round, or even, you know, RSL with Chicho? It could be a lot of fun.
Real quick, though.
Yeah, I know. That's rough. Quick check-in on Jose Cifuentes. On Wednesday, November 1st, Sifu was back in the 18 for Rangers after missing several matches due to injury. He did not start in the Scottish Premiership match versus Dundee, but he was subbed on in the 76th minute of what would become a 5-0 win. He came on. It was 3-0. They scored 2 more goals in the final 14 minutes of the match. So good on the Rangers for dispatching Dundee and Sifu back in the lineup. And very quickly, Angels City FC finally made it official. It is full Tweed ahead in ACFC land. Becky Tweed, the official head coach for Angel City after an incredible run to get them into the playoffs. Congratulations to Becky Tweed. That is LAFC news and notes. Philly, for the last damn time in 2023, let's talk about Vancouver.
Let's talk about Vancouver indeed. We have a pretty decent record against the Vancouver Whitecaps. That goes without saying. The unfortunate thing is, anytime we head up to visit them at their bad carpet place, aka BC place, the result never tends to go in our favor. In all competitions, anytime we go up to BC place, we maintain a 2-3-1 record, defenders, and we don't score very many goals when we go up there. We've had 6 goals for, 6 goals against, a differential of 0 anytime we head up there. The last time that we went up there was decision day, a game in which Danny Bwanga scored a goal halfway, a little more than halfway through the first half, and then Ali Ahmed in that 58th minute equalized it, and then that result ended up in us falling down from a second to a third seed. It's tough place to play. Vancouver has become a very tough team to play. Vanni Sartini has done an exceptional job turning his team around. This was their first postseason appearance since 2017. They turned up. They have some fantastic players, and that are Ryan Gold and Brian White. Their fans, their supporters, whatever their supporters are called, they turned up. 30,000 plus in attendance. It was a game in which they were going to play for their lives. And I'm so happy that LAFC did what they needed to do, because there's no way I would have wanted to sit in front of y'all, in front of Scarf, and do one more Vancouver Whitecaps pod. Again, on behalf of myself and the Scarf, we apologize for not giving you one more sleep yesterday. Scarf was at a wedding. I selfishly went out to go see Jay Leno at Flappers in Burbank, courtesy of Chris Lafferty. I went with Amanda. And by the way, Jay Leno's writers, a lot funnier than he was that day. That's all I'm going to say about that. But we don't have to worry about not doing another Vancouver Whitecaps pod, because after today, we'll at least get 3 months, hopefully, in which we don't have to do this again. Yay.
Yeah, look, normally Vancouver gets like 15,000 a game. They open it up to 22,120 for Major League Soccer games most of the time at BC Place. The entire lower bowl is filled at 27,695. So BC Place holding 30,204 for this match. Ed Sheeran once got 65,000 in BC Place for the stadium record. But hey, to go see their Whitecaps, 30,204. The mayor of Vancouver released that stupid video where he like chokes at the very beginning of it. He's like, oh, look, it's LAFC in the playoffs. Yeah, choke on this, bud. But it did not work out well. Let me get into the starting lineup real quick for Vancouver. My new second favorite head coach in all of Major League Soccer, one Vanni Sartini, rolls out their 3-1-4-2 with their player of the series for sure, goalkeeper Yohei Takaoka. I have said for, I don't know, this entire season that I have been unimpressed with Yohei Takaoka in his regular season exploits. And over these two games, he very quietly and very politely, because now he's in Vancouver, said, Scarf, I'm going to show up a little bit and make things very nervous for your side. And he certainly did today. A great game for Yohei Takaoka. Roberto Hernandez, we will absolutely talk about why the last goal was called off. Carlos Vela made a very stupid play. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. Got to get through the lineups, and we'll get there when we get there in the game roundup. Defender Tristan Blackman, who had a pretty good game except for one play in the box, unfortunately for Tristan, ending Vancouver's season. Ranko Veselinovic and Matias Laborda in for Javane Brown. And I knew I didn't like Matias Laborda when I saw that he tucks his damn shirt in. Don't tuck your shirt in. Midfielders Andres Cubas, Richie Larea, Pedro Vite, and Ali Ahmed in the starting lineup for Alessandro Schopf. And it's Sam Adekugbe rounding out the midfield. Ryan Gauld and Brian White, both very, very, very good on the front line. In their 18, they brought in four players off the bench. Syracuse's own Ryan Raposo, Hoylett, Betcher, and Schopf. And I have to mention this, Philly, as part of Vancouver's starting lineup, because he made an excellent play for Vancouver in the middle of the pitch, end of the match, referee Timothy Ford. And that is the lineup for Vancouver. Philly, a couple of very odd changes in LAFC's starting lineup, and I don't know that I loved one of them.
Wanted to address Soccer USA's comment about they came to see Will Ferrell. Everybody comes through to see Will Ferrell. And anytime they panned on over to him, I noticed that inaugural season white cap that Will donned. And I said to myself, I have that hat. I know I have that hat. It's somewhere in my closet. And sure enough, I found that hat on this side right here, inaugural season. I can't believe I have this hat. I'm happy that I do have it. So
yeah, he said it was his lucky hat, right?
Like, yeah, it's got that soccer head pin on it. He no longer has that Pride Defenders pin. He has it on one of his jackets. He's been seen wearing Defenders of the Bank pins. We've gotten a chance to meet Will. God bless. The LAFC starting lineup. Let's talk about the man that the people of Vantucky booed. Anytime Maxime Crépeau got his feet or his hands on the ball, BC Place erupted in boos. Another example of the stereotype that I learned about today. They are very polite, but not very personable. And so that was an example of that. Maxime Crépeau, having spent 3 years for the Vancouver Whitecaps, not very well welcomed. But they should be proud because one of their own, at the very least, had some type of success in Major League Soccer. You brought up the fact that LAFC had a couple of changes. You would be correct, other than the fact that you missed it by one. A couple, by its literal sense, means two. LAFC had three changes to their starting lineup. But let's talk about the back line. First, we had Ryan Hollingshead, who, while he scored very many goals in the first matchup, got almost scored on the wrong side earlier on today. Jesus David Murillo, the change in the back line, Giorgio Chiellini coming off the bench, Aaron Long coming in, and then Cheeky Palacios. Midfield consisting of Timothy Tillman, Ilya Sanchez, and Kellen Acosta. Mati Bogic sat the bench. He was the starter in the last matchup. And then starting up top, Kike Oliveira on one side of the top. On the other side, Denis Bouanga, your and ours, our golden boot leader. And up top, not Carlos Vela, but El Pistolero, Mario Gonzalez. And if there was ever an opportunity that Super Mario had to, well, be a little thing, a little bit something other than non-existent, today was his opportunity to do so. And while we can have an entire pod on his season, I will say that Mario did have an impact in today's game. And it shouldn't have come as a shock to any of you that Carlos and Giorgio did not start, especially considering that the turf monster claimed Alan Velasco in Seattle just a couple of short days ago. No surprise there. Our substitutions, the players that did come in, Carlos Vela for all of like 180 seconds, Giorgio Chiellini, Nathan Ordaz, Sergi Palencia. Did Mati Bogic come into the game?
Yes, he did.
Yes, that's right. Much, much later on, closing on the 80th minute in the game. And that rounds up your LAFC lineup. Let's get into it. Oh, by the way, real quick, in the pregame show, one Andrew Wiebe made the prediction that Vancouver would win and that we would play on Thursday. For those of you who don't know, Andrew Wiebe is the host of MLS Extra Time, and he hops on those Apple TV shows. By way of the city of Kansas City, he is a massive Galaxy fan. It's no surprise to me that he would say something negative about LAFC. But Andrew Wiebe, one day I hope to be working with you, but this is my message to you, bud.
All right, then. Look, it started out, and we knew we were going to see were double teams for Denis Bouanga, and the first time he touched the ball, fifth minute, I mean, he got swarmed. Two guys pretty much every single time he would touch the ball early on in the half. Maxime, the boost started again. And really the best chance of the first few minutes was in the eighth with a great ball over the top from Sam Adekugbe to Brian White, but he pushes the shot wide 1v1 with Murillo. I thought Murillo played very, very well today. Hopefully he's okay. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. Again, ninth minute, and Philly coming into this match, Maurice Adu talked about it several times on the pregame show. They talked about it. LAFC scored 4 goals off of set pieces last match. And so what you knew Vanni Sartini would try and do is shore up their set piece defense. And sure enough, ninth minute, a great touch pass by Kike Oliveira to Timothy Tillman. His cross deflected out for a corner, and it was a perfect corner that found the head of Jesus David Murillo, but it was headed just high over the bar. So again, LAFC already showing Philly that on set pieces, we have come to play.
It was a phenomenal. Are you sure it was Adekugbe? I could have sworn it was Ali Ahmed that had that pass in the eighth minute. Needless to say, it didn't matter. Nothing happened there. Where things got a little scary. And by the way, sorry, what was the last timestamp you mentioned? I want to make sure I don't get ahead of myself.
Yeah, just the ninth minute.
Okay, cool. 10th minute. That's exactly where I was transitioning to. A scary moment. Look, Ryan Hollingshead scored plenty of goals for us and scored plenty of goals as a defender for the side that he plays for. But scary enough, he scored for Vancouver. He almost auditioned for Vanni Sartini. Brian White headed in a ball into the box, trying to find Ryan Gold. And the lines of conversation between Moody and Ryan Well, they were a bit scarce. Well, for not nothing for that matter. It was non-existent. Ryan heads that. Max dove for it. Max wouldn't have caught it, but thankfully the soccer gods were honest. That could have been scary. There was a corner that resulted off of that bad, unfortunate play, but fortunately nothing came as a result of that. And here we are 10 minutes into the matchup.
Yeah, we traded corner kicks. Vancouver got one in the 13th minute. Nothing really happened. We got one in the 16th minute. Even less happened. And you saw Denis Bouanga being double marked again in the 18th. Absolutely love the switch by Andres Cubas over to Richie Larea, but cheeky with a great 1v1 effort in the 19th. And Philly, I may not have liked the fact that they put Mario Gonzalez in. I see Gerardo and several others in the chat are actually pretty happy with the effort they got from Mario in the first 45 minutes. But you can't take away the fact that Mario Gonzalez earned us a penalty kick in the 21st minute. It was a corner kick by Vancouver that LAFC defended very, very well, and a great counter by Cheeky Palacios. And this is what Cheeky Palacios brings to the table. Ryan Hollingshead headed the ball away out to Cheeky Palacios, and it was Cheeky to Mario, Mario to Denis Bouanga, back to Mario in the box. I did not like Mario's play on the first time he touched the ball through, but he went full speed ahead into the box, and it's Tristan Blackman, of all people, who kind of came from behind and the side and really took him out. Penalty was awarded. Check is complete. And look, Maurice Adu said it, and I completely agreed with him. If they had chosen not to award the penalty, I don't think VAR maybe would have gone back to it and said, take a look at it. But because it was awarded, VAR completed the check, called it good. And Philly, 36 goals on this calendar year now, and he hit it with authority, put it up top as well. I'm not sure, even if Takaoka guesses right on the PK, if he's able to keep that out of the back of the net from Denis Bouanga. Philly Denis does it again. 1-0 LAFC, 36 goals in the calendar year, surpassed only by Carlos's 38 in 2019. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Good is Denis Bouanga.
I mean, he's superb. I'm wearing a Denis. Well, I'm not. It's backwards. I'm not going to turn around. I'm wearing a Denis Bouanga kit. By the way, when we say worldwide, I want to give a shout out to Jack Dickens. Jack Dickens is coming to us by way of the UK. So we're very fortunate to have him come on the and comment on there. We very much are a worldwide pod. 107 countries. Again, big shout out to everybody that tuned in across the globe, not only in Los Angeles, not only in the United States, but all around the world. Jack Dickens, a longtime listener, Defenders of the Bank. Much love. Now, Mario Gonzalez did apply a lot of pressure to Takaoka earlier on, 20th minute. He had an instance in which he applied some pressure and caused Takaoka to create a turnover. And you're right. He did attract that foul being sandwiched in between Tristan and Veselinovic. But no doubt that Denis Bouanga was going to go out there and smash it. He went one way. Takaoka went the other. And thankfully, we score the first goal. I got to admit, I was a little worried because this is somewhat reminiscent of the last game that we played against Vancouver on Decision Day, a game in which, well, Denis Bouanga scored early on in the first half. We know how that second half ended up. In the 58th minute, Ali Ahmed equalized. I couldn't help but think that something similar was going to occur, but Denis Bouanga is gangbusters from 12 yards, 11 meters away. He was 3-for-3 over the course of MLS regular season play, and there is nobody on this team that I would say I'm more confident in finding the back of the netting on a PK other than Denis Bouanga. But I'd be remiss if I didn't say I kind of would have wished that Mario Gonzalez would have had his opportunity to take it. Obviously, you're going to give it to your golden boot leader, but Mario attracted the foul, so you could credit him in a way, inadvertently, with that assist. But I would have loved for Mario to have at least scored in this game and at least quieted his critics up to a certain extent. But this play doesn't happen had it not been for that rough touch and that sandwiching in the box by Blackman and Veselinovic.
Philly, what's in that glass that you're about to take a sip of where you just said you wanted Mario Gonzalez to take a PK over Denis Bouanga?
Reposado.
All right. Well, you're gonna have to maybe switch up your beverage of choice, my friend.
My dude, I was trying to warm up the vocal cords. I heard that Michael Bublé was in audience at BC Place, and I wanted to make an attempt to sing a Michael Bublé song, but unbeknownst to me, I don't know the lyrics of any Michael Bublé song.
Doesn't he sing that one? And I'm feeling good. Like, isn't that Michael Bublé? I think that's Michael Bublé. You're welcome. Anyways, look, I thought we were going to get one. Another one right away, 28th minute, another corner for LAFC, and perfect execution again on the corner. Timothy Tillman on the back post, and it's a great save by Takaoka. The rebound comes out to Denis. He has a long curling strike saved out for another corner. Kellen Acosta gets another corner and another corner, and it's another good ball that's headed out. Denis Bawanga, who has to track all the way back, by the way, to stop the counter that he almost had a goal. And then he tracks all the way back to stop the counter in the 30th minute. I absolutely love Denis Bawanga. I mean, he was there two different times. I'm going to highlight it later on in the match as well, where he's the one tracking back. Kike Oliveira had a couple times where he's the one tracking back. I absolutely love all of these different offensive players tracking back and being part of the defensive effort as well. A nice effort from Timothy Tillman from distance. Another diving save by Takaoka in the 32nd minute. And we really felt like that momentum was pushing in our direction, like we were going to get a second. It wouldn't happen in that run of play, but we looked really, really, really good.
Do you see me by chance? Because I'm getting messages on my screen about logging into the keychain and all this other stuff. I get the feeling I'm being hacked on the air.
No, I definitely see you. You're not moving on the screen, but I still see you.
All right. Well, do me a favor. Carry on. And I'll be right back.
All right. I'll keep it moving. In the 34th minute, a nice little 1-2. Hey, it's the Angel City Chicks logo. You guys should follow Angel City Chicks for all your Angel City news at Angel City Chicks. Listen to their podcast. It's a whole lot of fun. In the 34th minute, a nice little 1-2 from Vancouver in the box. Just a little too much on the pass. And Maxime Crépeau has to pounce on that ball. Maxime, look, I know Denis scored the goal. I know we had a couple of other good plays from a bunch of guys on the field of play. But that being said, Maxime Crépeau, absolutely man of the match to get us to the Western Conference semifinals. A hard foul, by the way. Ryan Gauld on Ilya Sanchez really took him out pretty solidly. In the 37th minute, Denis Bawanga 1v1, but his shot deflected out for a corner. Mario was almost there on the back post for the deflection. And in look, we haven't done this a while on this podcast, and now Philly is not there currently on screen, so it's going to sound very different. But in what was a wait, what moment for me in the 37th minute, y'all, did anybody else take note that it was Denis Bawanga taking the corner kick for LAFC in the 37th minute? Denis Bawanga taking the corner. Look, I have no problem with Denis Bawanga taking the corner. He's probably not our best option in the middle of the box on a corner kick, but I was just surprised that I don't know the last time I remember Denis Bawanga taking a corner. In the 39th minute, Ryan Hollingshead deflected across out for a Vancouver corner. They got nothing on it, but LAFC was able to counter very well. However, a reckless lunge is what Maurice Adu called it on the broadcast, and it certainly was, and we are very lucky it wasn't anything worse than a yellow card for Mario Gonzalez. Luckily, he barely got him, but he did get Yohei Takaoka with the studs. So yellow card, easy call. Mario Gonzalez, you might say that that's the reason that he came out at halftime. You might say that it was his hold-up play on what should have been a breakaway with Denis Bawanga that caused him to come out. But either way, that's a yellow card for Mario Gonzalez in the 44th minute. What are you doing, Maxime Crépeau? We already called you the man of the match, so we love you. But I'm not so sure that Maxime thought Brian White was going to make it where he did. Way too casual by Maxime Crépeau. And híjole madre, we almost give up an absolute howler as Brian White comes out of nowhere to attack Maxime Crépeau and get a touch on the ball. There is one Christian Philly. Philemon, can you hear me, my friend?
I hear you loud and clear. That was rather strange, and I rather incidental that all of a sudden I started having technological problems once I called out Andrew Wiebe. Wiebe, this is your damn fault, buddy. I'm coming to get you.
Dude, he's always listening to you, Philly. That's the thing.
Where are we?
We were just talking about how Maxime Crépeau tried to gift a ball to Brian White right in front of our own goal, and that ball bouncing just wide after Brian White was able to get a touch on it. And now we're in stoppage time, Philly, in the first half.
Yeah, 3 minutes of stoppage time to be exact. And with nothing really happened at this point. Like, going into the half, anytime LAFC goes into the locker room with a lead, they generally win against teams not named Monterrey, a.k.a. Rayados. Just saying. The Vancouver Whitecaps, on the other hand, aren't a team that is successful coming out of the locker room facing a deficit. 0-5-3 over the course of this entire season. Now, I mentioned it earlier on. I was praying, fingers crossed, chat conversations with the soccer gods that we would have no flashbacks. Because, again, this game was rather reminiscent as to what happened on Decision Day, where Denny Bawanga scored first, and then Ali Ahmed and the Vancouver Whitecaps came back to equalize. I've said this time and time again. Anytime you end up in a match when it goes to PKs, the better team isn't always going to be the team that wins. It's the team that has the preparation, the opportunity, a.k.a. the luck. So that's the story right there. Your stats. Look, Vancouver wasn't very threatening. They had one shot, zero on target. LAFC, five shots with four of them on target. They were a little more clinical. Vancouver held the lion's share of possession up until the final 10 minutes. That's something I probably need. That gap narrowed a little bit, 55-45 going into the locker room. The passing accuracy, not necessarily that great between either sides, 81%. Vancouver had more of the passes. Aaron Long being our most consistent and our most accurate passer. We held the lion's share of set pieces with six. We also were a lot chippier and nastier than Vancouver with nine fouls to their five. And we both had one yellow card a pop heading in to the second half. And to start the second half, Scarf, for those that were very bullish on the performance of one Mario Gonzalez, well, Steve, not very bullish on the performance of Mario Gonzalez. I imagine you talked about his yellow card during my absence, where he had a really rough first touch and made some contact with Takaoka. Steve decided he had saw enough. Mario, look, made his impact, and that PK was courtesy of him being in the right place at the right time. But Nathan Ordaz subs in for El Pistolero to start off the second half.
Yeah, look, Vancouver 0-5-3 this season when trailing at the half. So they go into halftime down 1-0. It's wonderful recording a podcast this early. It is, what time is it now? 8:52 p.m. Oh, my goodness.
Reality would be like 10 if it wasn't for daylight savings.
I'm going to be able to sleep. It's great. I'm going to try. You mentioned Nathan Ordaz coming on for Mario Gonzalez, and I don't know. Was it the yellow card? Maybe just wanting to have a player on a yellow off the pitch? His decision-making on that breakaway and the fact that he really hasn't been threatening at all? I don't know, but we see Nathan Ordaz. More news on Nathan Ordaz and his substitution in a little bit. I really liked Kike Oliveira with several good crosses into the box the first couple minutes of the half. And the first shot on goal for Vancouver comes off of a terrible turnover by Chiqui Palacios, something that's been very uncharacteristic of him. It leads to a break. And if not for an excellent recovery by Aaron Long and a great save by Maxime Crépeau, this game could have very easily been 1-1 just 2 minutes into the second half. And Philly, that would have obviously changed everything. In fact, the shot almost went under Maxime Crépeau. He kind of saved it with like the undercarriage of his armpit and like a bunch of other stuff as he's sliding forward. Lots of action to start the first couple of minutes. And that save, Philly, by Maxime Crépeau was his first save in the entire two-game series. First save in the entire two-game series. Vancouver only had two shots on goal last match, and they both scored. So for a guy to get man of the match like Maxime Crépeau did and still not to have to make a save until the 47th minute, that definitely tells you that this second half, a far better offensive output for Vancouver. Look, I didn't think we looked great, maybe even up until, I'll say, actually, we didn't start to look good in the half until they took Richie Larea out of the game in like the 56th minute, even though I didn't think he did a whole lot. But I mean, yeesh, 54th minute, another scary moment, Philly.
Yeah. 47th minute, Vitae auditioning for a job as an NFL punter as he kicked one well above Max's hands. Yeah, you said it, 54th minute, Max had another big-time save, robbing Ali Ahmed of a big header. You had a great cross in by Adekube, nearly an identical timestamp to where Ali Ahmed scored on decision day, minus or so, plus or minus 4 minutes. Nothing yep. came out there, but Max seems certainly getting a little bit of action. 8 minutes later, he had another easy snatch out of the air that he grabbed. Then we got the 63rd minute. Denny gets set up by Nathan Ordaz, who already looked a bit more threatening than Mario did, but shot and saved by Takaoka. Takaoka, for as much flack as you've given him all year long, actually turned out to have a pretty darn good game. Robbing Timothy Tillman of a couple of shots, robbing Denny Bawanga of a couple of shots. So just definitely want to give my praise to him. 65th minute, Ryan Gould with a chip into the box. Maxime again with his best impression of Odell Beckham Jr., jumping up and snatching one, grabbing it with one hand, making yet another save. And well, he got busy these first 10, 15 minutes of the second half.
Yeah, by the way, that one-handed save, I don't know if I've seen keepers do that very often in my MLS watching. I'm sure there are people out there that are like all about the one-handed save. They can talk about players they remember doing that. But I'm just saying that was pretty cool by Maxime Crépeau. He made it look a lot easier than it actually was. I mean, look. I saw something from Max that made me excited. I saw things from Max that made me a little frustrated at times. He was a little hesitant to come out and get the ball, but I think it was it Jack that said this earlier? Maxime Crépeau, when he is on, you just feel calmer with him back there. He did a wonderful job in goal for us today. I loved that little 1-2, by the way, from Nathan Ordaz to Denny Bawanga. Really sad that we couldn't make something more of it. Corner kick for Vancouver in the 68th minute. Timothy Tillman has to make a great play on the back post. Otherwise, again, we are in trouble. Ali Ahmed takes that crack from distance, like you said, but it was well high. And then they bring on Hoylett for Laborda, and untuck your shirt, please, Laborda. I hate it so much. I didn't like it. 69th minute. We almost had a giggity. What is Kike Oliveira doing? How come he cannot settle this ball? He was apparently onside, was all alone, 1v1 with Takaoka, but couldn't settle it. Ball trickles out of bounds. Absolutely nothing happens. Unfortunately, it wasn't quite the turf monster, I think, that got Jesus Murillo here. But in the 71st minute, Brian White, 1v1 with Jesus Murillo. Save by Maxime Crépeau, by the way. Great job by Max to come out, cut off the angle, made a very, very good save. And it looked like White got Murillo on the ankle on a follow through. And that would be the end of the night for Jesus Murillo. We'll talk about how LAFC has a little bit more of a break over the next couple of days than they might have had they obviously lost this match. But it's Giorgio coming on in the 73rd minute. For Jesus Murillo, congratulations to all the fans at BC Place for being able to see the Italian legend one more time before he likely calls it a career at the end of this season. So really, really happy that he graced Canada with one more appearance. I absolutely love me some Giorgio Chiellini. And I said I would mention this, Philly. He did it again in the 75th minute. Denny Bawanga tracking all the way back to make another good defensive play. This is 75 minutes into the match, and Denny's still doing the dirty work out there. Absolutely loved it. I like Soccer USA's comment with our midfield doing the dirty work as well with Acosta, Sanchez, and Tillman really putting in the work tonight. So, yeah, man, it was a solid effort. By Murillo over the course of his 71, 72 minutes. But now Chiellini in, Denis doing the defensive work. And Philly, we got 15 minutes to see it out.
It's pretty funny. When Moody went down, the camera panned over very briefly to Denny. And Denny had this look on his face. I don't know why I thought about this. I haven't thought about this particular thing in a while, nor have I played it. But when they panned over to Denny, he looked like Sonic the Hedgehog would look on your Sega Genesis when you put your control down, get up, go to the bathroom, and he's just sitting there idle. He's like, Come on, let's get going. And the announcers between Taylor Twellman and Ryan Costigan, they said it. He never stops. He keeps going box to box. He is unbelievable. Look, he's threatening on offense. He's decisive on defense. You want to talk about an MVP-like caliber player, somebody that I would be in the trenches with, somebody I would go to war for? Denny Bawanga. There's very few players on LAFC that I could say have played with the utmost passion and love and exhilaration. Obviously, we can say Latif Blessing is one of those. Obviously, we can say that Chicho Arango was one of those. And there are a couple of other players. I'll let you decide who falls into that category. But Denny Bawanga does not stop. And if there's any kind of player that you want to have on a club and a team that you support, it's somebody like him who will go out there and fight blood, sweat, and tears from the moment the game starts to the moment the game ends. It doesn't matter if he's tired. We've already learned that it doesn't matter if he's just come off of a 12-hour flight from competing on international duty. He's a gamer. He wants to play. And I got to tell you, to the scouts, the players, the front office, thank you for finding Denny Bawanga, because from my version of my scouting report, I would have never looked at anybody from a lower tier team in Liga 1, one of Saint Etienne. But how y'all do this job and find somebody like this that fits into the system, and not only fits into it, but utterly decimates and dominates, my hat's off to you, front office.
I love it. I love it. Look, we got a substitution in the 80th minute, Mati. It's a Philly sub, Philly. 80th minute substitution. Matty Bogush on for Timothy Tillman. And also, by the way, Hoylett gives it a distance, gives it a go from distance, well wide. Becher comes on for Ali Ahmed, and Schaaf comes on for Andreas Kubas. And I thought really that would be trouble for Vancouver, because Kubas is, to me, their most dynamic player. And then we got a Philly sub in the 80th minute, and we have a scarf yellow for LAFC in the 83rd minute. Kike Oliveira taking down Hoylett on a break for the card. He earned it. And how about Chiellini in the 83rd minute, Philly? Giorgio Chiellini making an absolutely stellar defensive stop. It was Maurice Adu described it as being hectic in the box, but the legend calmly making the play 83rd minute to deflect it out. And oh my goodness, Philly. 85th minute. I mean, the kids couldn't figure out the break, right? You had Nathan Ordaz, Kike Oliveira, and Matty Bogush all running this break. And I don't know that you can run this break worse than those three guys ran the break. They cough up the ball, and it is a massive, massive chance for Vancouver on this play. It's Ryan Gauld perfectly to Brian White. And I mean, Brian White was able to absolutely tee up this header. But unfortunately for Vancouver and fortunately for Maxime Crépeau, the ball is literally headed right at Maxime for what was a big save. By the way, I didn't realize this until LAFC released their press notes. 5 saves tonight for Maxime Crépeau represents a career high in saves, according to LAFC's PR. 5 saves, the career high for Maxime Crépeau.
What?
I just read it on LAFC's PR notes, actually, while you were talking.
5.
5.
Okay. All right, look, there's something about the number 5 that has been done erroneously all day today. And I'm going to mention the very first example of that number 5 by itself erroneous thing. Yeah, you said it, Brian White, a header directly into the breadbasket of Maxime Crépeau. 86th minute, we have subs. We have Carlos coming into the game for Nathan Ordaz. And then Sergi Palencia coming in for number 5. That's who the officials had on the screen. Number 5. I'm sorry, but Dejan Jakovic has not been part of this team for a couple of years. That was your number 5. It turned out to be Kike Oliveira at the end of the day, but 5. That's that first mistake right there. And there's got to be another mistake. There's no way Maxime Crépeau's high as a goalkeeper playing for the Vancouver Whitecaps of all teams and Montreal to start things off. And obviously LAFC, there's no way 5 is a career high. I'm confused to believe it.
Mamadou Fall, also number 5 for LAFC. Don't want to
forget. Yeah, well, he was here for a cup of coffee. Dejan Jakovic here for a couple of years.
Yeah, Mamadou was here for a year or two.
He did not play as many games as Dejan Jakovic.
That's probably true. I'll have to look.
No, that is without a doubt true.
Look, 88th minute, a hard challenge from Ryan Gault on Denis Bawanga. It was deemed clean, so we'll go with that. Why not? 89th minute, kind of a dumb foul by Cheeky Palacios. You really felt the game get kind of nervy as Vancouver was setting up for the set piece about 30, 32 yards out. LAFC does give up a corner, but nothing really happens there, to be perfectly honest. And now we head into stoppage time, which is supposed to be for 5 minutes. We got a yellow card for Shop on a foul, on Carlos Vela. Look, what Carlos Vela did in stoppage time, look, he didn't play very much in this match, right? Came in 86th, 87th minute. But you want to talk about classic time wasting. You want to talk about classic killing the ball, killing momentum. I mean, there were three or four corner kicks where Carlos takes it in the corner and just settles the ball, kills the momentum. I thought that was pretty cool. Philly, third minute, Vancouver gets a corner. They bring up Takaoka, but again, nothing on the inside. And in the fourth minute, Philly, you were off dealing with your computer issues. I said my wait what moment of this match was Denis Bawanga taking a corner kick for the first time that I can remember in quite a while. I wrote that down in my notes, and I was like, I don't know the last time Denis Bawanga took a corner kick. I'm going to have to go look that up later. I'll tweet it out on our X or Twitter or whatever they're calling it now. But it's safe to say that the 12th man for LAFC, referee Timothy Ford, is not going to be able to head back to Vancouver anytime soon. You mentioned that they're not as polite or as, I don't know, what did you say in Vancouver?
They're polite, but not friendly.
There you go. I guarantee you
cheers
they're
to
not
going to
be friendly. I guarantee you that Vanni Sartini is not going to be sending any Christmas cards to Timothy Ford because, look, the bottom line is the referee with a shoulder shiver to Alessandro Schopf. Takaoka was caught out, and who better to lead a break, Philly, than Carlos Vela, baby. I mean, we're talking Takaoka is racing back. There's no way he's going to get there. It's Carlos Vela, and he's got a couple of runners with him, but no need, right? You have the greatest goal scorer in the history of LAFC. You have no keeper anywhere back. So what does our MVP from seasons past, the greatest player in club history, do? He passes it forward to Denis Bawanga, which means Denis Bawanga is now offside because there has to be two defenders back, and there was only one defender back. So Carlos Vela, with an undescribable brain fart, something that you would not at all think that Carlos Vela would do. I don't care what his intentions were. You score the damn ball. You put it in the back of the net, and Carlos Vela needs to just chip, shoot, score, 2-0, put the ball back down at damn midfield, and that's that. But what I think you and I love more than anything else is Vanni Sartini and his red card and him going absolutely apoplectic.
He wasn't wrong, and I don't fault him for his antics. I said it earlier in the pod. He is by far the most animated, fun, and interesting person to watch on the sidelines. He is the MLS's version of Mr. Bean. There's no doubt that he bears some kind of striking resemblance to Rowan Atkinson. You put Vanni Sartini on the set of Monty Python, and boom, you've got a character actor. But he was absolutely right to be as furious as he was. I would be too. They issued him a red card, and it's hilarious. He's walking to the corner lines, to the sidelines. He kicks the crest banner flashing on the sponsorship side. Everybody in Vancouver is clapping for him. If there's anything that could be said about Vanni Sartini, as he solidified himself wearing his Vancouver is home sweater, acting as passionately and as angry as he did, that is a coach that I would play for. You and I had the fortune of getting a chance to be in the same room as him during the CONCACAF Champions League matches that were held at BMO Stadium. He is articulate. He is funny. I don't want to say he's funny looking, but he looks like a character, that's for sure. you and I both would have blown our roofs off had we witnessed what he witnessed. But my hat's off to him. I want to comment on him one last time at the conclusion of our recap. But all of us would have been as pissed off as he was at that moment of time. I do not fault him for getting that red card.
Yeah, look, we still need better from Carlos Vela on that break. Look,
whatever.
Seventh minute, Takaoka with another save on Matty Bogusch. And it's another good save. LAFC, again, some more time wasting on the corner. And yikes. The last touch of the match, Ryan Gauld making us sweat a little bit. A diving save by Maxime Crépeau, Philly, is the final action of the match. That's it. We're done with Vancouver. We move on to the semifinals. 1-0 LAFC in a match that they barely used Carlos Vela. In a match that they didn't use Stipe Buick or Fufu Krashtev. In a match where we likely wouldn't have seen Giorgio Chiellini if not for a bit of a Jesus Murillo knock that he picked up in the 71st minute. LAFC, dare I say, kind of put out a lineup on cruise control, put out a lineup that defended so, so well yet again, a little bend but not break defense. We were able to try Mario Gonzalez in some things. We were able to try Nathan Ordaz in some things, but he got subbed out, so I wonder what Nate did to have to get subbed out. Or I wonder this. I'll say this. Maybe it wasn't Nathan Ordaz doing something wrong, although there were a couple of decisions that Nate made that were not great tonight. Carlos Vela now, in playing in this match, remains the only player in club history, Philly, to play in all 9 playoff matches in LAFC's team history. So maybe he was just trying to get Carlos into the match there at the end. Maybe they needed the time wasting on the corner kicks, and that's something I'd much rather have Carlos Vela doing than Nathan Ordaz for sure. Interesting, some people on Twitter were saying Nathan got subbed out because he was going into the sin bin, into the penalty box, into the coach's doghouse. I don't know, but we'll see. Either way, Philly, a great 1-0 win for LAFC, and we move on.
And I'd say Jack's got a pretty good point. Vancouver was really threatening towards the end, and they came close on a couple of occasions. Not a bad pick, or not a bad comment to indicate that if we would have gone to PKs, because that obviously would have been the case.
Yeah,
I would rather have had Carlos Vela out there as well,
yeah.
Or would you? Because Carlos Vela hasn't been as successful converting PKs over the course of his entire history as well Denny Bawanga has. Needless to say, look, the game ends. LAFC was pretty darn good with their consistency. 8 shots with 7 of them on target. Vancouver 14 with 5 of them on target. We decided to sit back, and Vancouver and Vanni Sartini played well into our hands. They held the lion's share possession, and well, we punished them when it mattered. You said it. If Carlos didn't pass that ball on over to Denny, getting that referee to blow his offside whistle and raise that flag, well, we would easily have walked out with a 2-0 win. But who cares? Alas, the game ends. We were a little naughtier than them with 18 fouls to their 10. Set pieces, we were better with 9 and 7. Yellow cards, there were 6 between the two sides. But LAFC comes out, they win the game, and thankfully they save us all a couple of bucks at BMO Stadium. Look, I love going to the bank. It's my favorite place to go in Los Angeles. But I would have not have been thrilled if I would have had this shelled out, and you would have agreed with me on this. Another $600 between 2 tickets, you and Nina and me and Panda, to go watch our club play flipping Vancouver yet again. I hoped, I prayed, and I kept my fingers crossed that this wouldn't happen. That's what I wanted. I know the LAFC front office would indicate otherwise because, well, you know, money is money. And at the end of the day, sports is a business. But thankfully, we make the Vancouver Whitecaps vanish. We vanquish the Vancouver Whitecaps and Vanni Sartini. There's a lot of beautiful alliterations that you can make as a result of this. And now we await the winner of Dallas and Seattle, which will be played the same day as a Inter Miami and NYCFC friendly match, which again I think is the dumbest shit period. I know we're a family-friendly podcast, Scarf, but allow me the ability to swear at least once. I'm utterly disgusted by Don Garber and this league's decision to schedule a meaningless pimp my player stupid match on the same day as a meaningful playoff match. This league is going to grow leaps and bounds, and these clubs are all going to be worth billions of dollars because, well, they issue out so many flipping games. Today was our 50th game, Scarf, this season. 50th game. On the anniversary of our MLS Cup win, we are barely out of the first round. It's MLS, baby. What can I say? It's MLS.
Not just our 50th game, Philly. The goal by Denis Bawanga is our 90th goal of the season. 90 goals on the season. By the way, I was talking about this with somebody else. Lionel Messi had 91 goals in a calendar year once. 91 goals in a calendar year. He scored more goals in a calendar year than LAFC has with our entire team in all the games that we play. That's kind of crazy.
I hear he's pretty good.
He's all right, turns out.
I don't think there's any reason to see him play on Friday.
There is no reason for sure. But that being said, 90th goal, 50th game, and one last thing that nobody's talking about, folks. LAFC, with our first ever road playoff victory. That's massive because we have A, not proven we can win on the road before. Our only time we went on the road, we lost to Seattle. But B, look, if Seattle goes through, it's very likely that we are playing, obviously, in Seattle next. That's how that works. And it's pretty likely that unless my choice of Atlanta finds their way into the Eastern Conference winner's circle, that we are going to have to go on the road to play any one of the top five teams in the Eastern Conference. So we are going to have to prove, man, can you imagine if it's Philadelphia in Philadelphia? Oh, my God.
Oh.
All I'm saying is that either way, either way, all we're going to have to do is go on the road likely to win MLS Cup, folks. So for us to get our first road playoff win in club history, it's massive, massive. What if it's Columbus and we get to take on Diego Rossi and Christian Ramirez in the East?
I'm more worried about Diego Rossi than Christian Ramirez.
Diego hasn't done a whole ton for them, although he did have assist, I think, in their last playoff game. But either way, I mean, Philly, this could be silly season having to go on the road to Seattle. If we beat Seattle, by the way, whatever the Western Conference final is, it's at home. So, yay. If we beat Dallas, by the way, same thing. Whoever we play, it's at home. If it's Houston, if it's Sporting, it doesn't matter. It's we get the home Western Conference final as long as we make it to there, which is great. I'm really looking forward to the Western Conference final. And by the way, that puts us in Champions League, but we got a lot more games to go before we talk about all that stuff. Unbelievable. 90th goal, 50th game, first ever road playoff win. Oh, man. Philly, it's nice. For the record, it's 9-17. It's 9-17.
It's kind of 10-17 if you really want to break it down. I mean, we only changed the hour back less than 24 hours ago, so I still feel like it's 10 o'clock.
Still, but
I'm happy that it's 9-17. Scarf, today was a glorious day. Unbeaten in our last five straight games in all competitions. We win on the road, which is something that we haven't been very successful at doing, and we all get to save a couple of bucks, not having to go back to face a team for the seventh time. I am pretty flipping thrilled at this point. I really am. We're sitting in a really good position right now. I still feel, as I said, and I'm sticking with my guns, I would rather play Seattle and beat them in their domain and then come back, win Western Conference Finals en route to winning an MLS Cup final. To me, yes, there is the path of least resistance, but as Ric Flair would say, and you know we're big wrestling fans on this podcast because when we make comments like the millions
and millions,
I'd hate to tell you that's not an original statement. What? We love our wrestling. And like Ric Flair would say, to be the man, you got to beat the man. And at the end of the day, Seattle is somebody that ate our Cheerios for us in 2019. I want so badly to go to their neck of the woods and insult, disgrace, desecrate, and decimate that club in their own grounds. Because that would give me the satisfaction and the revenge that I've been craving since they ripped our hearts out in the Western Conference Finals in 2019. And I do say tongue in cheek, I'd like to save a couple of bucks, but in reality, I want to beat Seattle in Seattle en route to winning the Western Conference Finals at home. And we are in such a good position to do this. There are doubters out there that don't think our club can win the big games. You're gonna put your foot in your mouth at the end of this season. We are a good team. We're a very talented team. On paper, physically, we've just played a lot of games. As mentioned, this was our 50th. We got our 51st coming up, and I don't give a hoot who it's going to be. We're going to have a 52nd as well, and then a 53rd. And then we're going to hoist another trophy. And to all the haters out there, bam! Thank you.
Philly's doing a very good job of keeping this podcast family-friendly today. I believe that was the third salute you've given so far on today's
YouTube
episode.
Cannot push me back if I don't say things. I can express things. And by the way, for the families out there that are watching this, look, not that many of y'all are watching this. I look at the numbers. There are quadruple, quintuple, eight-tuple, sextuple, whatever. There are far more of y'all that are listening to this. So whatever gestures I give, not that many of you are seeing this. So that's why I'm doing it.
All right, real quick, before we sign off, want to give a quick congratulations to Gotham, New York, New Jersey, Gotham, a 107th minute goal dispatching last year's champions, the Portland Thorns, and the Megan Rapinoe retirement tour rides on into NWSL final as the OL Reign beat San Diego Wave 1-0. Look, I have a feeling if you would have asked the commissioner of NWSL, they would have much rather had the Portland Thorns facing Megan Rapinoe and Rose Lavelle and OL Reign. But still, it's going to be a fun title match. Saturday, November 11th, you guys, just 6 days from today. Just 6 days from today, Saturday, November 11th, NWSL final. Philly, are you rooting for the Megan Rapinoe retirement tour? I am, because Rose Lavelle is on that team, and that's my favorite player. Or are you going with New York, New Jersey, Gotham, baby?
Y'all listen to this pod, you know I'm born and raised in New York. I live in L.A. I moved here the same year that this club started taking deposits for season tickets. I love LAFC, but in my heart, I'm still a New Yorker. And I will never, unless it's LAFC, I will never root for a non-New York team. I stand corrected. Forget it. I want Gotham to win. I don't want to see the OL Reign or Megan Rapinoe win another title. Look, Megan Rapinoe's a legend. She's got all her accolades. I'm going to root for the underdog, baby. And that underdog is New York, New Jersey. Let's go Gotham.
All right, I like it. So we'll have to figure out our wager. I'll take the Reign. You're taking Gotham. And more importantly, this is episode 284. Guys, we couldn't do it without you. I love you guys. Everybody in the chat today, the chat has been absolutely lit. Remember, don't forget, like, subscribe, turn on notifications, do all the cool things that all the kids do on YouTube now. Check us out at Defenders of the Bank. We love you guys all so much. And you know how we like to end each and every one of our 284 episodes. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.